Welcome to another finals edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me today, OTG contributor Xavier Clyburn. What's up, Xavier?
What's up? It's a beautiful day, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing better than the Cavs, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. It's not looking too good for the home team, man.
Yeah, so Cavs, you know, had another big defeat last night. Warriors just came to play. It was another strong first half. Next thing you know, Warriors win by 19. Final score, 132-113, Warriors. What are your initial thoughts after last night's game?
My initial thoughts is the first five or so minutes of the first quarter, the Cleveland Cavaliers played the exact way they needed to play. Everything was to the rim. There was no jump shots. It was every possession that they could get to the rim, they went to the rim. What happened in the first quarter, though, is that they allowed Golden State to stay within the game with a lot of silly fouls, a lot of reach-ins, a lot of bad fouls, bad timing. And as the game progressed, Golden State started to get their rhythm. Klay Thompson finally showed up. He had 22 points. Stephen Curry had his first ever playoff triple-double. Kevin Durant had, like, the easiest 32 points I've ever seen in a finals game in my short lifetime. So, really, the Cleveland Cavaliers have to question, do they have enough to guard them? The Cleveland Cavaliers played good enough to win this basketball game. And with playing good enough to win this basketball game, they still lost by 19, 20 points. So they have to really go home and reevaluate their strategy. And it might just be a situation where they just don't have enough for this Warriors team.
Yeah, and this Warriors team now up 2-0 is one of the best teams ever to play in the NBA. And, you know, it's not out of the question to say, like you mentioned, that they just might not have enough. But they played great in that first quarter. They brought that energy. But like you said, they let the Warriors hang in the game. And, like, when the Warriors aren't playing great, you have to take advantage. You need to build yourself a 10-15-point lead because you know they're going to make a run in the second half. They done it in game one. They did it in game two. Third quarter, they made a run. The Cavs responded this time, but then when they made another run starting, you know, late in that third, early in that fourth, the Cavs were out of juice. You know, and having to play that hard, especially LeBron James, he had to put in so much energy defensively guarding KD, chasing around the guys on screens, and then also he had a ton of fast break points getting easy buckets at the rim. And I think they're just asking too much of LeBron.
The only good news for the Cleveland Cavaliers is that, one, they're going home, and two, they were mildly competitive with J.R. Smith scoring no points. Channing Frye only gave you 2 points. Jefferson played okay. Korver only gave you 8. You got nothing from Deron Williams. Got nothing from Iman Shumpert. And so there is room for them to grow and develop, because going home, you expect a lot of these role players to play better. I expect more than 0 points from Deron Williams. I expect a lot more than 0 points from J.R. Smith. So I expect them to play a little bit better going back home. But also, I do think that Tyronn Lue needs to go with a lineup change.
Yeah, we'll talk about game three adjustments a little later on, but we'll stick to game two. One other positive from game two was Kevin Love. You know, he put up a big game. We talked about this a little bit off air. When he puts up a game like that in a series where he just has the disadvantage, you kind of need to take advantage and you need to step up. And someone who didn't step up for the Cavs was Kyrie Irving. What are your thoughts about his game two performance and his game one performance?
I think Kyrie Irving is really getting used on the defensive side of the ball. I think he just trying to play so much defense on Steph Curry that it's allowed his offense to kind of become out of sorts. A lot of times when you see Kyrie Irving penetrate and make his move, he's under control. It just seems like he's just really out of control and out of sync this series. Granted, he had the good game one, but watching the game in game two, he just seemed out of sorts. You know, he had some bad turnovers, had some really bad shot attempts. There was one attempt where he tried to pull up in the lane. Kevin Durant comes and blocks the shot. I just think that he just has to slow down himself. He has to slow down and just see what the defense is giving him and play accordingly. Because he can do whatever he wants on the offensive side of the ball. Offensively, he can drive.
Yeah, he needs to let the offense come to him a little bit. Like you mentioned, I think some of it has to do with the Warriors' defense. Klay Thompson's obviously been really physical with him. Yeah. And I feel like the Warriors have studied him very well because he's been doing that spin move in the paint, and it seems like every time he's about to spin, there's a Warriors defender there, and it turns into a turnover. So like you said, I think that's a great point, you know, get into the flow of the offense and maybe spend a little bit more time setting up your teammates, especially when you know they're going to trap you.
Yeah, I think also you watched the game and he was off the ball a lot. So I think every time he caught the ball, he just wanted to get a shot up, get into his own rhythm. Because a lot of times LeBron James was coming down initiating the offense. I think that you know, we'll talk about the game three adjustments, but I think, you know, just seeing, just having him bring the ball up, having him touch the ball, initiate the offense would go a long way for the Cavaliers.
Yeah, I mentioned on the halftime podcast yesterday, I felt like they needed to get Kyrie involved, especially more with the fast break, because in the Boston series, you've seen him throw plenty of alley-oops to LeBron. Same thing in Toronto series, you know, get some easy baskets on the fast break, attack them in transition like LeBron was doing, and, you know, kind of take some of the pressure off LeBron as well. But on the Warriors side, you mentioned it before, KD was dominant again, and there's been talk about him being back in that conversation for the best player in the world. We'll touch on that in a little bit. Steph Curry was great. Klay Thompson kind of came back. Draymond didn't have a huge game, but he did what he needed to do, and, you know, he's had some contributions for the bench. But who stuck out the most for the Warriors for you?
For the Warriors, it's once again, it's Kevin Durant. I mean, this guy has really made the difference in this three-peat of the finals rematch. He just creates so many offensive and defensive problems for the Cavaliers. Defensively, he's guarding all five players. He's switching on every screen. He's blocking Kevin Love post-ups. He's blocking LeBron James. He's blocking Kyrie Irving. He's defensively, I think he's made more of an impact defensively than offensively. Because offensively, there's only one ball, so someone's going to score on every possession. But defensively, he's made it where LeBron James has to work. If you watched the series last year, LeBron James could really just go at the pace because they really had no one that could handle him and guard him. This year, Kevin Durant is guarding him and guarding him hard every possession, just making him work. Granted, LeBron just still had a triple-double, but he had to really work for that triple-double. It was a hard triple-double. At the end of the game, you could just tell that LeBron James was gassed and tired, and that's all attributed to KD. We forget, he's near 7 foot with long arms. So he's just moving around, being a roamer, blocking shots, switching everything, communicating, and he's really made the difference for this team's defense.
Yeah, no, the athleticism and the ability of being so long and lengthy and blocking shots. And like you said, he's making LeBron work not only on offense, but defense, both sides of the floor. And it's really taken a toll on him where Kevin Durant doesn't have to necessarily put as much energy in because he has great players around him and the things are kind of coming to him. And especially like, one thing that I think I've been surprised by the most is how easily KD has scored on LeBron.
Well, he scored easily on LeBron, but we saw this in 2012. If LeBron James couldn't guard him in 2012, he can't guard him now. LeBron James has always had a tough time with Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant is 7 foot and just shooting over the top of him. But he's scoring really, really easily. Like, he's scoring in the flow of the offense in Golden State. Whereas when he was in OKC, it was more like, give me the ball, get out the way, I'm going to get a bucket. Here is off of pin downs, cutting to the basket, pick and rolls. He's getting to that mid-range. He's been deadly in the mid-range area. Whenever they switch out a big on him, he's going to work. And, you know, he had a very efficient game. He was not shot hunting. Every shot that he took was a good shot. And that's all you could ask from KD. You know, essentially he's replacing Harrison Barnes. So, you know, he's just sliding in, playing that position, taking smart shots, being aggressive, and it's just being an overall headache for this team.
The interesting thing is, you know, one point that was brought up was, you know, Kevin Durant coming here and losing Harrison Barnes' defense. But Kevin Durant's defense has been great, and his ability as a help defender has also been great. One thing that always sticks out with the Warriors is their team defense and their ability to make rotations, where you see a lot of teams where they throw double teams or traps, they're guaranteed to give up an open shot. The Warriors are just so composed, and they know where they need to be all the time.
Not only that, but they've rebounded really well this series. You know, they've kept Tristan Thompson almost as a ghost. We don't know where Tristan Thompson is at. Last year, he was killing them on the boards, and this is all attributed to KD. He's rebounding very well in this series. You know, even though LeBron James got a double-digit rebounds, they got to work for every rebound. That's how it was last year, where he could just go in and get an offensive rebound at will. Kevin Durant has made all the difference defensively for this team.
Yeah, and the Warriors have done a great job as a team just putting a body on Tristan Thompson, and he's even said that they've made him work. And last night, you know, they didn't even really want to give him minutes because he wasn't that effective. I think he only played 21 minutes, where last year I think he was playing 30-plus or 35 minutes because he was so effective rebounding offensively, defensively. This year it's just not there, and that's really hurt them.
Yeah, Cleveland has they have a really tall mountain to climb, man. They have to – they have to really just try to figure out the Kevin Durant puzzle. I think if they can figure out Kevin Durant, everything else will just kind of fall into place.
Yeah, but then the Kevin Durant puzzle, though, is really to solve that puzzle. There's not one single player they're going to be able to throw at him. It's going to have to be a team effort, but you're giving up, you know, help somewhere else. And when players like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and even, you know, JaVale McGee, Zaza Pachulia, and the bench guys, like, you know, who are you going to give an open shot up to? Because they do a great job kind of filling the spots they need to fill in.
Yeah, and only thing, like, quick side note, this means that the rest of the league is so far below the Warriors, because remember, the Cavaliers pretty much blew through the East, which means that there's no Eastern Conference team that's winning a championship within the next 2-3 years. It's tough. It's really tough. Like, this team, watching this team on paper, I'm just like, I don't know what Cleveland can do, but we're going to try. We're going to get into it, though. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only team that maybe has some, like, possibility of doing something great in the offseason, but it'd be kind of like risking for the future, would be like the Celtics. You know, the ability to trade for a big-time star and maybe sign a star in free agency, but I don't know if they're going to do that. I think they're more interested in kind of building slowly and waiting till the Cavs kind of fall off.
Yeah.
We talked about this a little bit off air. This has kind of been a topic, and I know you wanted to talk about this. We're going to talk a little bit about the Steph Curry and Kevin Durant duo. We're going to talk about championships with them. But first off, where do you think this duo ranks? Like, does this have the potential? Obviously, like, 1 year in, so we can't really, you know, put them in a spot yet. But do they have the potential to be, you know, a top five, top three duo ever?
Man, this is a tough topic for me because circumstances made these two guys come together. I believe as an individual duo, to me, they won't crack my top five. But on paper, when all is said and done, they possibly could have two or three, maybe even four championships. So they would be in the conversation for top five. I think what's going to happen is that they'll be a top five duo. But as individuals, I don't think that they're going to get the type of respect that the Michael Jordans or the Magics or the Birds or even the LeBrons are going to get.
Yeah, I know that's something you wanted to touch on. Why don't you go into that point right now, the championship for these guys. Is Steph Curry and KD's championships going to matter quite as much, or it's going to really hinder them in the terms of all-time player ranking?
As a team, the championship would be great for the Golden State Warriors. But for their individual careers, I think this will be the narrative for each player. For Stephen Curry, we have 2 years of finals evidence that shows that you really can't carry your team to a championship. In 2015, Andre Iguodala was the MVP, averaging only 16 points per game. Last year, we'll give Curry a pass because last year he was hurt, so we don't know how effective he could be. But really, when have we seen Stephen Curry play this well in the finals? What's the difference between 2015 and 2016 till now? The difference is Kevin Durant. Having a second player, another MVP next to you, is making the game so much easier for Stephen Curry that the conversation will be, did Stephen Curry lead his team to a championship? I will say no, but he'll be in the conversation. But Kevin Durant, you're not even breaking a sweat in this finals. You're not even working hard for your shots, which means that your team is really, really, really good. Even when Jordan was winning championships with the Bulls, there was a couple of games where he had to work and sweat to get his. The whole playoffs, Kevin Durant has had a cakewalk in terms of scoring. He's been efficient. He hasn't been overused, overtaxed. And at the end of the game, he seemed like he can go another 48 minutes if he had to. So I really just think that them being together, they're going to win a couple of championships. But for their individual careers, I don't ever think that they'll be considered amongst the greats. There's the Hall of Fame, and then there's the Hall of Fame. I think they'll be in the Hall of Fame, but I think guys will frown upon the fact that they came together and almost like whitewashed the league.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely an interesting point. That's something that was really talked about a lot when KD went to Golden State. It kind of would hinder both of those players from ever being considered, you know, all-time greats. But, I mean, I think as time progresses, people might kind of be okay with it, because if you think about it this way, the one thing I think has in their advantage would be, like, you know, they're probably going to be maybe the best team ever, or, you know, at least top three. In the next few seasons, people are going to be like, you know, this is probably the best team ever. And usually when you associate the best team ever, you're thinking, you know, they usually have one of the best players. So I think it'll kind of matter. I don't know. Originally, I thought it was really going to hurt KD to come here, but the way he's shown his ability and his ability to kind of show that he can play all around, it actually might help him a little bit. The championship count might not be as there, but, you know, the defensive ability he's showcasing and the playmaking ability is definitely on showcasing Golden State more than it was in OKC.
Real quickly, 2 points about that. Kevin Durant, it does speak something when you can become a star among stars. So the fact that he is dominating on this level on
He's on a great team, and he's the best player on the greatest team, and he's dominating the greatest player in the world right now. That does bode well for him. And what will help the Warriors and Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant in the future is if other teams start to rise up and rise to the level where they have, like, these great 6- and 7-game series battles. That will help them ultimately in the long run.
Yeah, and we know that teams are going to respond the offseason, that, you know, LeBron's definitely not going to go into next year with a team that can't beat the Warriors. He's going to do whatever he possibly can to add a player to this team. Obviously, he's not the GM, but he's going to make some calls, see if he can get something done. And Steph Curry, on the other hand, it's tough to say because I felt like he was pretty good in 2015, he averaged 26. He wasn't, like, as MVP as he was the whole year, but he had a pretty good series last year with the injury that hurt him. He'll need to have a final series where he's the best player in the series for him to kind of help his case, where, you know, Kevin Durant's not easily the best guy. I think this year, you know, Curry's been amazing, but Durant's just probably been on another level with his impact on both ends. And he hasn't had the turnovers that Curry's had.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you sit back and watch the series, you just, like, Durant just pops off the screen. He just pops off the screen. It's just like, oh man, that's the best player in this series. That's the finals MVP. To be honest, he could have a subpar next 2 games and still be the MVP. That's how great these first 2 games have been for him.
And he's had timely buckets and plays. I think last night in the game where he had that block on Kevin Love in the post where he swatted the shit out of the ball, and then he took it down the other end and hit a shot where he probably got fouled. That kind of just killed the momentum. At that point, the Cavs, I think, kind of looked at that situation there just like, shit. Like, we can't stop this guy.
When you watch the games, like, the Cavaliers are doing everything in their power just to stay within the game. Like, let alone have a lead. Like, they're just doing everything in their power just to keep it competitive, to keep it close, to keep it an 8-point, 6-point game. Golden State is so explosive that it's just hard. Sometimes it's hard to watch because you know for a fact that Cleveland is playing as hard as they can. But Golden State just makes it look so easy of getting buckets and getting points. Draymond Green was quiet last night. We're not even talking about Draymond Green. He was very
– Yeah, Draymond's been in foul trouble most of the series, so he hasn't played as many minutes. He hasn't had a huge impact as he's had in the previous series, the previous finals matchup. So it's kind of crazy. I think probably the most telling point of the whole entire, you know, series and maybe game two is the Warriors had 20 turnovers and they still won by 19 points.
Yeah. Like, LeBron James has a triple-double. You get a great game out of Kevin Love, and you still – the game is still over by the fourth quarter. Like, it's an uphill. It's really a tall mountain to climb. It really is tough for the Cavaliers right now. Like, I don't know what type of schemes they can do, but it's tough.
Yeah. Moving on from there, I want to get your take. You know, a few years ago, the year Kevin Durant won MVP, there was some talk about him possibly becoming the best player in the world. Has he reopen that conversation again with LeBron James with the play he's had in this series, or LeBron's still easily the best player?
LeBron is still easily the best player because Kevin Durant is still – the fact that Kevin Durant is on the Warriors, that makes it hard for people to accept him being the best player in the world. When you're running with 3 other All-Stars, it's hard to kind of like give up the greatest player in the world to Kevin Durant. LeBron James is still keeping these games relatively competitive with great play. It is that he's just getting so tired and worn out because nobody else is coming to his aid. See, if Kevin Durant has a bad game, you know one of Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, or Draymond Green is going to step up and have his back. With LeBron James, remember, when he sat out the regular season, the team was like 1-8. When Kevin Durant missed like 20-something games, 20 games, and they ended up playing better without him at points during the regular season. So it'll be very hard for Kevin Durant to take over that mantle because of who he's playing with.
Yeah, no, you made a great point, Xavier. Playing on the Warriors is going to make it so difficult for Durant to be considered the number one player. Maybe if he does for a few more seasons, but LeBron obviously is playing with a little bit less. He does have 2 All-Stars and maybe 1 superstar on his team. I could see the Cavs adding another player, and LeBron's obviously getting older. So eventually I think Durant's going to be able to take that mantle.
I just think, like, for me, the best way to kind of compare the two is just having to switch teams. What would LeBron James do on this Golden State Warriors team? And what would Kevin Durant do with the Cleveland Cavaliers? I could argue that if he was on the Cleveland Cavaliers, they don't even make the finals. That's just my own personal point. And if you had LeBron James on the Warriors, oh my goodness. It'd be championships for the next 5, 6, 7 seasons because he could just take some time off. He could rest his body more. he wouldn't be playing as many minutes as he does. Like, we forget LeBron James is playing close to 40 minutes throughout the whole season and is carrying so much load because, let's face it, Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving are inconsistent. They're better than Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh from the Heat, but at least Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade were consistent. Like, you knew what you was going to get from them. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, some games they show up, some games they don't. So he's dealing with a lot of inconsistency on that roster.
Well, you brought up two great points. Defensively, I don't think Kyrie or Love is the level of player Chris Bosh was, especially as a help defender, and I think that really hurts the Cavs. And also the amount of minutes that LeBron has to play. You know, we've mentioned it all season long. We mentioned the playoffs. LeBron was racking up the minutes, and it finally looks like it might be catching up to him a little bit because against the Warriors, you have to play almost on another level. And it's definitely been apparent in the fourth quarter that LeBron just doesn't have that same zip. And it's kind of hurt him because early in the first half, early in the first quarter, he's getting easy buckets. He's attacking the Warriors in paint, and he's just not able to do that in the fourth quarter when they need the easy buckets the most.
I guarantee you, if the series continues the way that it goes and it's potentially a four-game or five-game, you know, wash, I guarantee you the phones will be ringing in Cleveland, and LeBron James is going to get help. He is going to get help. I don't know where it's going to come from. Dwayne Wade's out there, you know, he might opt out his contract. We don't know. But, you know, he's going to make some calls and get some guys in there. You know, I was talking to a guy earlier that, you know, potentially you could see a starting five of Kyrie Irving, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, and Tristan Thompson. Potentially.
Yeah. I mean, the Cavs would have to – I think the problem for the Cavs is they're just going to have to get really creative. They're going to have to get people on pay cuts because the way their cap set up, unless they move some guys, they don't really have any young assets that's like, you know, oh, I'll make a trade with the Cavs. I'm pretty sure their 2017 picks to Boston and 2018's to Atlanta. So it's they're really in a tough situation, but I'm never, you know, doubting LeBron.
The greatest GM in the world. We forget that. The greatest GM in the world is LeBron James.
And I'm sure there's players around the leagues, especially veterans, that are not happy with the dominance the Warriors have. There's a possibility they can go 16-0 and not lose a game in the playoffs. But moving on from here, let's talk adjustments. What's the biggest adjustment we're going to see from Cleveland in Game 3?
The biggest adjustment is that there was already word that they was going to start that they might start Shumpert over JR, which I think is a start. I personally believe that they need to go with a lineup of Kyrie Irving, JR Smith, Shumpert, LeBron James, and Kevin Love. I think that they just need to find a way to keep LeBron James off of Kevin Durant so he can save his energy for the offensive side of the floor. And I think, I think that everything that they do has to be towards the rim. Everything got to be towards the rim. Don't try to get into a three-point shooting with the Golden State Warriors because clearly your shooters aren't even making shots. You know, Channing Frye was not good. J.R. Smith was not good. Kyle Korver was not good. Kyrie Irving was not good from the three-point line. So you have to just kind of sell out and just have everything going to the rim. Also, defensively, I think that they just have to try to run. You know, the biggest thing is always trying to run, go to see off the three-point line. But I'll just really be like, listen, if I was coaching, I'd be like, listen, everything, we have to just force them to take tough twos and make a whole bunch of layups and jump shots. It can't be threes. Threes is what get this team going. They feed off the three-point shots. They feed off of momentum. They feed off a fast-paced game. You got to slow the tempo down and have everything going towards the rim.
Yeah, I think, like you mentioned, defensively, they just have to be better. Like, you know, last night there was just so many open threes against, like, amazing shooters. Like, you have a chance. They just need to be better. They need to put that fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth effort in on a possession just to get the stop because if you're allowing the Warriors to get these easy shots, it's going to be tough. And, like, the thing is, if you're allowing them to get layups, too, and dunks like we saw in one, they kind of stuck to the three-point line and gave up the open twos, and it kind of allowed them to get hot. So I think, like, maybe the thing they could was kind of force to the mid-range and kind of hope some guys miss. You got to play the percentages. You know, some guy's going to be in. Andre Iguodala has an open shot. Let him shoot the shot. You know, maybe like you're going to have to maybe force the ball to Zaza. He's missed a lot of layups this series. Just, you know, force it to not the superstars. Because we know KD, we know Curry. They're going to make their open shots, and they're going to make the tough shots.
I think what you got to do is every possession, like you have to almost play possession to possession.
Exactly.
And just think about what's the best worst-case shot that we can give them. So if it's a Klay Thompson pull-up jump shot, two-pointer, that's great defense. If it's a Steph Curry going to the basket and making a tough finish, that's great defense. If it's a Draymond Green post-up, That's great defense, but it can't be a Draymond Green three-point shot. Can't be a Klay Thompson wide-open three-point shot. Can't be a Stephen Curry dance three-point shot. You have to make them take tough shots and make them shoot over the hand, which means that the on-ball defense has to be better. The on-ball defense has not been good this series. Their help side was pretty good in game two, but I'm talking about on-the-ball defense, man-to-man, they got to be better. They can't allow the double teams. They can't allow the fact that they double team to let them fall back on that. So you got to kind of get out of that double team, and you got to get out that double team because you're giving up too many open shots, and guys aren't rotating as well as they should.
And then obviously the Cavs need to dominate the boards. You know, I'm missing more shots. There's going to be more rebounds for the Warriors, but they need to win the offensive rebound battle. They can't allow the Warriors to get offensive rebounds, and they have to win that battle by plus five, plus six, you know, maybe even plus 10. Tristan Thompson needs to show up big. Kevin Love needs to get involved down low. Even LeBron, you know, they need to dominate inside and have that advantage. And that's something they haven't done this series, and they did last year when they made the comeback. And I don't know if that's going to change, especially with the roster that Golden State's assembled this year. But moving on, biggest adjustments for Golden State in game three.
Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. You know Cleveland's going to come out, try to punch you in the mouth, but you know what? They're susceptible to fouling and they're susceptible to turnovers. They will, if you play Cleveland long enough, they will foul you and they will turn the ball over with the way that you're playing defense. So just keep doing what you're doing. Don't get rattled by the home crowd. Don't let the outside noise affect you. Don't let the noise of, you know, you're too old, you know, y'all was here last year. Stay locked in. Play the way that you're playing. Stephen Curry has to cut down those 8 turnovers he has. Kevin Durant, keep playing the way you're playing, Kevin Durant. Klay Thompson can build on the game that he had. Game two, he had 22 points, 4-for-7 from the three-point line. And also, you're probably going to get a better game from Draymond Green. I think Draymond Green will actually be on the floor this game and not get and avoid getting in foul trouble because now he knows the refs are going to call every whistle on him. He's not getting the benefit of the doubt at all. He's not getting the benefit of the doubt at all this series. So he has to know that that's how they're going to call it. So he has to be more careful with how he's playing defense.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's some great points. I think, you know, for the Warriors, like you said, they can kind of keep what they're doing, but I think they need to kind of turn it up a little bit in the first quarter, in the first half. Obviously, they played a lot better in the second half of both games. And I think one thing they could do is take better care of the ball. Obviously, in game one, they did great. They only had 4 turnovers, but last night, 20 turnovers. A lot of that was Steph. I think he had maybe 8 turnovers. So just better care of the ball, you know, put more zip on the pass. This is the finals. This isn't a regular season game. And I think they'll be fine. So, moving on from there, predictions, who wins game three, who has a big game?
I think that to avoid the sweep, Cleveland wins this game, and I think LeBron James has an all-time great kind of game. I think going home, you know, he said all he needs is some food and some wine, and he'll recover. I think he's going to try to go out and make a statement. I would not be surprised if he got 45, maybe even 50. You know, just give him one game in front of the home crowd. You're going to have that home crowd energy. I think that LeBron James steps up and shows us why he's the best player in the world and single-handedly carries, almost like what AI did against Los Angeles. You know, just that one game where he was just unstoppable and unguardable and they had no answer for him. I think we get that from LeBron. I also think that either Kyrie or Kevin Love, one of those two has like a 30-point performance. So my money's probably be on Kyrie to do that. I think Kyrie comes up and recovers from that 8-for-23 game that he had, and I'm going to go with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
This is a tough decision because I imagine the Cavs are going to win at least game three or game four. I don't think they'll win both. I think the Warriors are probably going to handle this in 5. My initial prediction was 6, but the Warriors just look so dominant, especially with Kevin Durant. I'm going to go with the Warriors, though, in this one. I just think they're going to want to get that 3-0 lead, and then maybe it'll go to 3-1. It'll be really ironic, but I think then they'll just end it in 5. I think the Warriors are just – there's just too much on that team, and they kind of know that if they beat them in this game 3, they kind of win the series.
I had the blueprint for the Cavaliers to win this series in 6. I said that in order for Cavaliers to win, they would need to have game 6 and have to finish it in Cleveland. That plan has changed now. So in order for the Cavaliers to even have a chance of winning the series, they got to win game 3. If they don't win game 3, the series is over. Wrap it up. It'll be over either 4 or 5.
I think the issue for the Cavs in this series, and it's just a general issue for the team, is I've mentioned this before in the regular season, is they just don't have enough plus defenders on the team. when you look at the team, there's so many guys where they're out there, you know, at best they're average defenders or they're below average defenders. You know, guys like Channing Frye, below average. Kyle Korver's not the most athletic guy. Kevin Love's not going to guard anybody on the perimeter. So I think those issues as a team really hurt them defensively against an amazing offensive team that's so versatile and they can handle the ball at all five positions.
I think what happened during the regular season is that they tried to get too cute and just go all in on offense and try to out Golden State. You know, when they did the trade for Kyle Korver, that trade made sense. You got another 3-point shooter, but then you picked up Deron Williams. What really hurt them was the Andrew Bogut injury.
Yeah.
I think if they had Andrew Bogut in this series, I really think that would make a much bigger difference, because now you have a big man coming off the bench that can actually play some defense. He would have been a plus defender, and he's
also a very underrated passer too. You know, when he gives you that rim protection, he's just a smart player, and it's something the Cavs need, especially on the defensive end. But you're going Cavs, I'm going Warriors. That wraps it up for today. Thanks everybody for listening. Have a great night and enjoy game 3.